Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma has invited you to comment on the COVID-19 vaccine injury no-fault compensation scheme. The scheme proposes to establish a taxpayer-funded compensation fund for persons who suffer vaccine injuries as a result of a COVID-19 vaccine. The scheme shifts a claim from the vaccine manufacturers to the taxpayer. Joining us on the line this morning is Rob Hutchinson, Managing Director at Dear South Africa. Very, very good morning, Rob. Thanks for speaking to us again. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm fantastically well, and yourself?
You're excellent. Thank you. So can you explain this to us? And I see that it actually closes today, so it doesn't give us much time to comment.
No, not at all. It came as quite a surprise. It caught us a bit off guard. The minister published it on the 15th, and you know, normally they provide about 30 to 60 days for public comment. And in such an important scheme or proposal, we'd have thought we could get the same kind of time allocation to properly go through this and provide proper comments. But no, you were only given 4 days and over a weekend as well, which raises suspicion in the public's eye kind of quite considerably. What is the reason behind this? Are they trying to hide it? We don't really know. There are certain plus sides to it. Usually, in a regulation draft, the public don't have to actually get involved in that. It's up to the minister to draft regulations or amendments to regulations. However, this is way more than just an amendment to the Disaster Management Act regulations. It's establishment of a new scheme in its entirety. And it's comparable to the Road Accident Fund, but more on the health and specifically vaccination and COVID vaccination as such. So it really does raise some questions as to why the rush for this, how this is going to work, and so on. But it is laid out inside the regulations or the proposal, and it does immediately. The paragraph that stands out most for us is right at the end, where they mention that in the case of a vaccine claim against the vaccine for an injury may not be brought against the vaccine manufacturer and may only be brought against the national government. So that's what this scheme and proposal is for, is to protect the vaccine manufacturers in the rollout of these vaccinations in case something goes wrong, and reshift that burden to government, or essentially the taxpayer, because it's funded by the taxpayer.
Let's just break this down a little bit. First of all, I've read about this in other parts of the world. Why has it come as a surprise to the South African government? This is something that the vaccine manufacturers, as far as I understand, have been asking for. I'm not sure that they've achieved it. And that's the next part of my question, is how does this look? How does this compare to what other countries are the way in which other countries are handling it? But my first question is, why did this come as a surprise? As a layperson, I'm aware that they have been pushing for this around the world. Why did our government not know this?
I'm not so sure our government didn't know about it. I'm sure they did, because as you say, it has been a plan that has been rolled out in most of the world. And it seems to have been done so that certain countries can get preferential positioning when it comes to the vaccine rollout. So grant us immunity and we'll make sure that you get your vaccines first, or bump you up further high up in the line and so on. It's definitely come as a surprise to the South African public. And for obvious reasons. I mean, we launched a campaign yesterday afternoon, and we've already had close to 7,000 participants having their say on this, all totally against the burden that will be placed on the public. That's a phenomenal response for a Sunday afternoon, which shows that it is a shock to the South African public. Yeah.
Which is quite incredible. So how are other countries dealing with it?
In the same way, they're also shifting responsibility from the manufacturer onto the government, so that no claims can be made against the manufacturers in any country at all. And I don't know, with all the latest hoo-ha about the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is causing blood clots, and it's being pulled from distribution in South Africa and various other countries. You've got to ask the question as to is that a coincidence? Did they discover that there's problems with blood clotting and then suddenly introduce this scheme to remove liability from themselves? Well, we can only speculate to that, but I think we all know the answer to yes, somewhere in the back of our minds.
Mm. Because we don't trust, yeah. And that's the problem, is that the lack of transparency and the lack of real information has made South Africans deeply skeptical. When we stop the vaccine trials here in South Africa, when less than 300,000 people have been vaccinated, over 6 blood clots out of 7 million people in the United States, there's some, you know, we immediately say, hold on, what is going on here? What information, you know, what is really going on behind the scenes? And then we see Dr. Mkhize saying in Parliament that some of the requirements that Johnson & Johnson have asked for are unfortunate on the very same day that the vaccine rollout or trials have been paused. So you put all of that together, add this into the mix, and there's a very, very strange and murky picture of something that doesn't really make any sense.
Absolutely correct. And I think you touched on a vital point there, that this is a live trial. First time in the history of vaccines that we've ever had a mass global live trial rolled out under the auspices of an emergency. There are so many questions from this, as you say, murky waters that we really, really can't answer, because there is no transparency around the real causes of this or reasons even as to what's going on. But the mere fact that we've seen blood clots, we've seen adverse reactions to the administration of vaccines, and now government steps in protecting multinational corporates, it raises some serious eyebrows as to what's really going on. How much is this costing the taxpayer? We're paying $20 billion for the rollouts. If there are 1,000, 2,000, or 1 million claims, we really don't know how many they're going to be. What is that going to cause? What's going to happen to the taxpayer at the end of the day? We've seen the road accident fund at $400 billion in debt. Yeah. Are we headed down the same route?
It's really a very, very big concern, because as we keep saying, if we trusted the government, which I suppose no active citizen should ever in any areas. But every country, every needs to keep a close eye on those who are leading. But I think we are a special case, aren't we?
No, definitely we are. I think, government. No one should ever trust their government. That's full stop. It's whether you're a citizen or whether you're an active citizen or a sit-down citizen, you still shouldn't trust the government. You should always question their motives. That's what a democracy is. Is that you, the lead, they're not leaders, they're representatives of us, we should be leading them. Mm-hmm. So that we've got to change our way of thinking and question everything that they do, and then get involved in what they do and guide them. They're mere mortals at the end of the day. They know no greater than us, and in many cases, they know less than us, and they rely on knowledge provided to them by the citizens and so on to create a good governance structure.
So what do? We have this, we've got a limited period at some time until today. Yes, I believe there is they're looking for, you know, perhaps considering an extension, but as it stands, the request for comments closes, or the ability to comment closes today. What should people be doing about this?
Well, we quickly set up a participation campaign where we can actually capture the public input, and then immediately it forwards onto the minister. We did this once before when she called for comment on another regulation change right at the beginning of lockdown. And it gave us the opportunity to dispute her claim. It was around, she said, only 2,000 people made comments against the banning of smoking or in favor of the banning of smoking. And we then said, hang on, we've got the evidence. We have 12,000 participants and not one of them was in favor. So we've set up a portal on our website, dsafrica.co.za, which allows people, presents the documents, it presents the facts, and people can go there, have their say, it'll send it directly through to the minister, and we capture it as well, and then we'll produce a report. We have also requested an extension through our legal team for at least another 3 weeks, but there's no guarantee that it will be granted. We'd rather have people put it in. Immediately and before midnight tonight.
Right, and of course the argument will be not to grant it, will be the urgent nature of this, that they don't want to pause or delay the rollout any further. But of course, that responsibility sits with them. We are now sitting at the end of April. Absolutely unacceptable to be only to be asking for comments now.
Indeed, indeed. You know,
and that in of itself is a strategy that, and anybody who's been somewhat involved in the legal profession will know, you know, when you send something on a Friday, you know that it's almost impossible, or a Thursday, it's almost impossible to get a meaningful response, by the Monday. So it does strike me as, not a coincidence that such a short period of time has been given. And as you say, that it happened over the weekend. I'd love your thoughts on a 34519 or 0618951019. Very simply, would you support this? Would you support a taxpayer contribution? Should taxpayers contribute to the COVID-19 vaccine injury no-fault compensation scheme? It's pretty much a yes or a no that I'm interested to hear from you. Rob Hutchinson, thank you for chatting to us, and thank you for the incredible and important work that you are doing, Managing Director at Dear South Africa.